traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon. Equestrians are a little behind schedule here, but we're catching up. Got a lot of good things going here on the International Equine Network. A lot of big decisions that we've been making here in the last few days just to see what we can do here with our network and with our website and everything. And we're got the website under reconstruction. We're building it up a little different this time. There's going to be some programs that we're going to be dropping here and doing like weekly or monthly opposed to, you know, every day on the website. We're trying to figure out where our people are coming from and what they're doing and how they're doing it and everything. So it's going to be a big change for us. Really concentrating on three things, actually, here at the International Equine Network. One of them is the website. We've got enough statistical information of what the equestrians out there are looking for and you know, where they're going at. And that's really helped us with a lot of it, a lot of what we're doing, kind of go with the flow, as they say. So that's exciting. And so I'm rebuilding the whole website, and it'll be up and ready by the 1st of October. And one of the things that I'm going to be adding to is a chat line that if you go to, like, say, one of our programs that are on there, you'll be able to interact with other horsemen and myself on the chat line. We're going to do that and see how that works out. And I think it's going to be do good because a lot of people have asked me about that, you know, where they can get in to interact. And what I like about that is that's a 24/7 type thing on the website. You know, you can go to whatever, like say if it's about, you know, horse racing from Canada, you can go in there and you can chat back and forth with other people that'll be there. That'll be strictly on the website there that we have. So we're going to try to do that. But the horse industry is really good over. When you look at it all over, it's good. It's good. We got things that are going on, like Monmouth Park was sold. It was the New Jersey Sports Authority owned it, and they've sold that to us, you know, to a separate entity. It'll be a private type thing now. And that's going to be good because they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to do a lot of things there, not only at the track, but for the horsemen in New Jersey. Going to be a lot of good things going along there. You know, that's how the Breeders' Cup started. They got a bunch of owners got together and, you know, all kinds of horsemen from the hot walker all the way up to the top owner in the world. And they figured out what they wanted. And, you know, there you have the Breeders' Cup. You know, that was pretty good. And also, that's what the horse racing's into now. Monmouth Park's been sold, you know, to a private entity. We hear rumors that Freehold Raceway for the Standard Breeds has been sold. And to who, we don't know yet. But that was something that just, you know, came up in conversation today. So we're trying to figure that out. So there's a lot of things going on, restructuring of a lot of racetracks and a lot of show facilities. For example, the World Equestrian, the World Equine Festival, or Winter Equine Festival. Sorry about that. I'll keep getting them mixed up with WEC and Ocala. But the Winter Equine Festival here in Wellington has some major changes in it. They bought an additional, I believe it was 1,900 acres of land that they bought so that they can expand and redo what they're doing there. So that's going to be, it could be the top-notch equestrian facility in the world by the time they get through with it. We don't know that yet, but it looks like it's going in that direction. And just like the World Equestrian Center, WEC, in Ocala. They've got another one in Ohio, but it's not as good as the one in Ocala. But the one in Ocala is just amazing. It's like a different for the equestrian industry. They have any and everything there, and I mean, it is just unbelievable. When you get up there, five-star hotels, restaurants, they've got bake shops and bakeries. They got, you name it, they've got it up there. They got a church. They got a grocery store. You name it, they have it. And what was interesting about this is a lot of people, you know, were kind of on the fence about building a facility like that in Ocala. You know, they, oh, it's not going to go. You hear all these rumors that go on, you know, about this and that. Well, just to let you know that the World Equestrian Center in Ocala is on the top 10. I say again, the top 10 places to go in the United States now. That's up there with Disney World and all the other things that we have here in the United States. It's phenomenal what they have there, and it's getting better and better every year that goes by. They've got, they're right on the verge of having something that's just, you know, it'll be a Disney World type thing. Then we have Tryon in North Carolina. It's a huge equestrian facility. It competes with everybody in the country. We have the Kentucky Horse Park that holds the 3-day Rolex event, which is one of the largest sporting events in the world. We have the Winter Equestrian Festival here in Wellington. We have Thermo California, which show is really good. We have Park Auto, which is really a good show. So, you know, the horse industry is just really getting better and better and better. And back to the thoroughbreds. The thoroughbreds are just getting to be unbelievable. The Saratoga meet was just fantastic this year. They had it a month in June, right there in May, June. So they have the Belmont Stakes here because they're rebuilding Belmont Park. They're just totally renovated and tore everything down, built a new grandstand. It's going to be a sports facility. There's a hockey stadium there. You name it, they've got it there. And they're making it fan-friendly, a tourist attraction is what they've done. And the racing's really good in New York now. What they're going to do with Aqueduct, I don't know. There's rumors that they're going to build onto the casino there at Aqueduct and get rid of Aqueduct. And they'll race year-round at Belmont Park, and that's why they're putting in the artificial dirt there so that they can race year-round there in New York. So, which will be good. It'll be good for the horsemen because you don't have to travel so much, and you know, it's a lot of good things. It offers a lot of good things there. So, you know, that's what they're looking at. And then we come down here and we go to Kentucky. We look at and see what they've done in Kentucky with the harness racing. Three new tracks there, harness racing. You know, in Kentucky, which is really good. So they got four altogether. You know, that they have there. So, you know, that seems to be on the upswing. And then in Florida, they got rid of harness racing in Florida. It is no more. Pompano Park is gone. It's a parking lot. And, you know, that happened, and it was devastating for the state because we didn't have that many, you know, standardbred farms here in Florida. And it's a good place to winter at to get your horses ready. And up towards North Florida, got quite a few training facilities up there that the guys can come down, you know, from up north and train at. And then, of course, here at Sunshine Meadows, you know, we've got 750 stalls here, a mile harness track, which is one of the best in the country. And then we got a 5/8 mile on the inside of that mile track. And we're looking, you know, to get people in here from the harness industry. And we're just not finding them. We're going to be really short on harness people. But by the same token, we've got a lot of show horse people that are coming down. And, you know, new inquiries for coming here because we've got a great show horse facility here, you know, which is really nice. So, you know, it's kind of a toss-up, you know, where do you go? And over the next few years, I'm sure we'll make a decision here on, you know, whether to expand the show horse division here, which is just a flip of a switch. It's no big deal to do that. But the harness industry here in Florida is gone, you know, and I just don't see it coming back. And if it does come back, it's going to have to come back up north. you know, in North Florida, where you got the population and the farms and everything, that type of thing. So, you know, we'll have to see about it. But the foundation is just not there for the harness industry here in Florida anymore. You know, we'll get a few stragglers that'll come down here, but, you know, that looks like it's on the way out, you know, for us here. So we're going to start really looking more towards, you know, the show horse industry. You know, see what we can do to build up, you know, our farm and replace the people that left from standing breeds. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that we have Palm Beach Downs. Palm Beach Downs has cranked out four Derby winners in the last 20 years. They've multitude of Breeders' Cup winners, Preakness winners, Belmont winners, you know, you name it, we've had them here. We've had Todd Pletcher here with us for 10 years now, going on 10 years. And some of the best horses that you know, he had in his barn have run, trained there 8 months out of the year. And that lays a good foundation for what Todd does, you know, in the spring. He comes down here, gets them ready, and the next thing you know, he's out across the country and across the world racing. And all those horses get their foundation right here. The older horses get a lay up down there, rest up and get ready for a new season. All the young horses are getting educated on the track. You know, the starting gate. We got Gulfstream Park, which is, you know, 45 to minutes to an hour away from us, to where they can race. Todd keeps a barn at Gulfstream so he can rotate them back and forth. You know, it's really a nice thing, you know, to have there. And it gives them a good foundation. So we know that that program works. That program really works. And then our show horses that we have here, which is really phenomenal, some of the horses that we have here, we're 30 minutes away from Wellington, where all the big shows are at. The girls and the guys train here. The horses love it here. They got turnout paddocks. They got a Euro track that they can get some distance on with them. You know, so they do good. We got four nice rings up here for them to train in. So they get everything that they need right here, you know, so that they can go out and compete. And they're always going to Jacksonville or to Tampa. You know, they go to Ocala, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan. You know, we have it all right here. But like I said, at the beginning of the show here, everything in the horse industry is up for grabs. You know, now all the businessmen and all the managers and the owners are sitting down trying to figure it all out. You know, where do we go? What do we do? And how do we do it? And let me tell you, when you've got all the tools to be successful, organization that gets you there. It's the people that you have working there, you know, and you just can't become successful overnight. It's a long, drawn out type of a thing. You got to plan. You got to plan. And you got to make adjustments, you know, and you got to take into consideration, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, I'll give you a good example. Last night here in Delray Beach, Florida, we had 5 inches of rain that came down in about 6 hours' time. It literally flooded our roads out, our paddocks out, you know, had some track damage, you know, that type of thing. Paddocks are full of water. You know, it was tough, but it's something that we had before, and we'll survive it. You know, but it's just the planning aspect of it. And thank goodness that we don't have a lot of horses here from up north yet. And that's really what helped us out, is none of the horses have really started coming back. We're pretty light on the load of horses here. But nevertheless, you know, the track has to be done, the rings have to be done, the roads have to be done. And those are things that you can't do anything about. You know, when you get 5 inches of rain, you can't, it's not like you can go out and put an umbrella up, you know, and stop it. You know, it was just really tough on us. But, you know, those are things, like I said, in the planning. Brandon Mills, the manager here, when he first got here 10 years ago, one of the things that he did is he went out and put gasoline pumps on all our wells so that all the farm will have water. you know, for the horses, which we didn't have before he got here. We didn't have the gasoline pumps. So if we lose electric, you know, then we've always got water for the horses, which is really good. Then he rebuilt the track. He rebuilt the Stanabrad track, the training tracks, and it turned out really good. Produced quite a few stakes winners, Hamiltonian winner, Little Brown Jug winners. You know, it served its purpose. It did right. You know, he did it right. And now, so we're back onto the rings, and he's redoing the rings, rebuilding the rings. And that slowed us down because once he got it stripped down, one of the show rings, down to its base, we get 5 inches of rain. You know, so now he's building back up on that. But it's going to be a very good ring when he gets finished with it. So, you know, those are all on the plans. And then, you know, you got to always keep in your mind, in the back of your mind, you know, how do we expand the facility? You know, since there's no standardbred horses here, you know, in South Florida, you know, we're going to have to expand. And how do we do that? You know, and it's kind of like six of one and half dozen of the other. When you look at it, is Pompano, is racing standardbred business and racing going to come back to Florida? No, it's not going to happen. I can tell you that for sure right now. The only thing Florida will be good for is training facilities for the guys up north. And to get those training facilities, they don't want to have to come all the way to South Florida, you know, to train. When they've got training facilities that are being built and being used up in South Florida, or up in North Florida and South Georgia. So, you know, they think about the economics of it. You know, do I go all the way 3 hours more down to Delray Beach from North Florida, you know, to train my horses for 4 months? Or do I stay in North Florida, you know, where I don't have to do that 4 hours? So, you know, they kind of look at it that way and everything. So here we've got to start thinking about what are we going to do with empty stalls? You know, the only thing we can fill them with, and we have a lot to fill, is show horses. Show horses. We got a lot that we can do with that. We could bring in and create an equine school and teach people how to, you know, be standardbred grooms and trainers and owners. And, you know, we could do something like that, which is good. And the ag department would help us out with like that. We can do that with thoroughbreds, show horses. We can do that with all of them. The ag department would get behind us on that. So those are the kind of things that, you know, we're starting to think about, you know, here in South Florida. And so that got me to thinking about, you know, my website and what I'm doing here at the International Equine Network. Well, one of the things that's going to be gone from, you know, the website is going to be flying turns. There's just not enough interest in the thoroughbred and the show. I'm getting all confused here. Show you what kind of day I'm having. There's just not a lot of interest in the standardbred industry, you know. So that's going to be one of the things that you know, that we're going to take off of the site, and we're going to make room for, you know, something else there. You know, that will get more people to the website. So we're looking at that. We're going to keep Last Call, which is the sales. We've got the sales from Keeneland going on right now. And then we've got Fasic Tipton sales. We've got international sales. We've got a lot of, you know, quarter horse sales, too. So Last Call is safe because we've got enough content that people would be interested in for that. So, you know, we're excited about that. Polo's on the fence. Polo's taking a big swing, you know, towards getting out there and getting their information on their programs and their games that they have. They're getting a lot of television coverage now from a lot of local places, you know, the local areas, like say here in South Florida. You know, not saying they're getting them up in Kentucky, but, you know, that's a possibility. It's on the upswing for them. It's they can take it as far as they want, you know, with the networks. So, you know, we're going to keep Chucker on there, which is our polo show. We're going to do that. Dressage, 0 to 10 that we have. That's a show that will highlight the big shows. And same thing with the Quest for Equine Gold. We'll always highlight the biggest show that they've got going on at that time, both domestic and international. You know, so we're going to be cutting back that on a little bit, you know, to see what's going on. And then we're going to concentrate mainly, you know, like on the thoroughbreds. We got the 2025 Road to the Kentucky Derby coming on. We got a documentary. It's an hour long, going to be an hour long, how they get there. It goes behind the scenes with the trainers and the owners and jockeys, and you see how the what the horses have to do to get to you know, to the Derby. So we'll have that, and then along with the thoroughbred end of it, we got what I call Triple Crown Traditions. It's going to be a cooking show. We're going to have on the Wednesday night before the Kentucky Derby, we're going to do a cooking show. It's going to have a competition between the owners, between an owner, the trainer, and a jockey. And they're going to cook their very best Triple Crown tradition, their derby party, their Preakness party, their Belmont party. We'll select three people, a trainer, an owner, and a jockey. And they will have a little competition, and then whoever wins that competition will move forward in the competition. Then we will go to Baltimore for the Preakness, and we'll select an owner, a trainer, and a jockey there. They will duplicate the same thing that they did at the Kentucky Derby, and same as they will at Belmont. And each one of them will have a winner. We don't know who it'll be, whether it's an owner, jockey, or a trainer, to be the winner. And then the three winners of each one of those divisions will meet in Del Mar, California, for the Triple Crown Tradition Cook-Off. And then we'll have our Triple Crown winner then. So that's something I think that a lot of the horse people, you know, will be interested in, because there's a lot of people that do a lot of things with, you know, with the horse business. And the thing that I find most interesting, and just about everybody does something along the lines, you know, of a tradition or a party, for like the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, everybody has their own thing, and it's kind of a following, you know, what they do, kind of something that they can do. It's kind of like a Super Bowl party, you know, or an Indy 500 party, you know, a Daytona 500 party, you know, that type of thing, or just even the weekly parties. I know a lot of people that get together. The big steak race will be coming up in California or Canada or, you know, or something, and they'll get together at their house and have a little, you know, get together. It's just the camaraderie of, you know, being together with friends and family, you know, and plus have something, you know, to watch and to do. And so that's why the Triple Crown Traditions have come up. We're going to go in depth with, you know, the tradition of like Kentucky Burgoon, the mint julep. You know, we're going to go behind the scenes and find out, you know, how seafood became the tradition at, you know, the Preakness. And then, you know, the Belmont, they've got New York food, and that's usually, you know, like steaks and lobsters and, you know, the high-end dining, you know. So we're going to do things like that. And that's what we're going to try to start doing here at the International Equine Network, making the programming, you know, likable for everybody. You know, you don't have to know a lot about horses. You know, especially like in Triple Crown Traditions, when you come in and you see a segment that's going to be on there about, you know, the food and the drinks and, you know, and the tradition of the Derby, anybody can watch that. You know, you don't have to know horses, you know, but it's something that's for them. And we do that, you know, four times a year with Triple Crown Traditions. You know, we're going to do that. And then how they get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. It's going to be exciting to see this, because every week I'm going to have something different on there. You're going to meet the owners. You're going to see how the owners decide to, get a horse to point towards the Kentucky Derby. You're going to see how he selects a trainer. You're going to see how the trainer selects a jockey. You're going to see how the trainer selects all the races that they have to run into to get to the Kentucky Derby. You're going to see what the jockeys go through, how they train, how they ride. You're going to see a lot of things, you know, with the helmet cam on the jockeys. It's going to take you behind the scenes and see what all goes on. You're going to see everything. And you don't have to know horses to see it because it's going to be entertainment. You know, equestrian entertainment is what we're doing here in distribution of the information, because that's what the public wants to see, you know, when we're doing that. Like polo, I've got a segment that we've already filmed, and it's unbelievable. It's how they make the polo mallet. And it's not like that there's a lot of, companies around, factories around making polo mallets. Hey, these are made by hand. And that's quite an unusual situation, that when you go to get a polo mallet, it ain't coming off no factory floor, you know, or machine. It's all handmade. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what the polo balls are made out of. How long does it take a horse to become a polo pony? You know, what type of horse? Is it a thoroughbred? Is it a standard bred? Is it a quarter horse? You know, we're going to go through all that things. So, you know, that's going to make it a nice entertainment, you know, for people to watch, you know, on a weekly type basis with it. You know, so we'll see that, doing that. You're going to see how horses fly on an airplane. Back in the day, I was flying for Instone Air Services, and doing that, I was a loadmaster with them and flew all over the world. You know, I've been to Australia, to Hong Kong, to Japan, to Europe, all over with them. And it's quite interesting, you know, to see, you know, what the crew has to go through to do that, you know, and how they travel and, you know, how easy it is for them. People don't realize that. Every day, when you're, you know, driving your car and you see a FedEx plane going over, or, you know, a Tuck Sutton plane going over, that's horses traveling in the United States, going from New York to Florida to Kentucky to California to Canada. It's quite interesting thing. And what we're doing now is going to show you exactly what it takes. You know, you're going to have to fill out forms. You're going to have to register. We're going to show you how jockey silks are made. You know, how each owner has its own, what they call colors. We're going to show you how they do that. We're going to show you how they name horses. There's just so much that we're going to do on this new website, you know, that it's going to be really, really good to, you know, to sit down and watch. And we're going to have a section on there for equine movies. I always wanted to have a family section on the website, and it's going to be where you can go in and you can click on it and, you know, see what movie's on for the week. And then all you got to do is expand the screen to a full screen on your laptop, and you got a nice movie. It's all for the family. That type of thing. So the horse business is really starting to, you know, like I said, get interesting. There's a lot of people in the horse business that are going out of business, and there's a lot that are expanding in the business. It's really interesting to go see, what all's going on with them. You know, if you Google, horses in your area, you'll find out all the facilities that are around to where you can, maybe take riding lessons. You can go see the farms, take a tour of the farm, especially in Ocala and Kentucky, in California. They got a lot of farm tours that you can go to. And usually it's an all-day thing, and some of the farms offer a lunch that you can get with the tour. And you travel the whole farm. It's an all-day thing. You see all the champions that have been there, the champions that are coming from there, you know, so it's a good family, you know, type thing. And we're going to make that available, you know, to see on our website. But again, you know, like I said, the business is really changing. It's getting down to a dollar and cent thing. And they realize that there's more than just racing, more than, you know, just a show jumping. There's more than, just having a facility there. There's a lot to it, and we've got to start catering to the public. When they come there, it's got to be affordable. It's got to be entertaining, you know, and you have to offer the foods, you know, of the area. And that's what I like about it. You can go into one of the farms like the Kentucky Horse Park. They've got an excellent restaurant there, you know, so you can really enjoy your day. And a lot of the places that you go to, they've got bus tours or little tram tours that'll take you all around the farm and show you, you know, just exactly what's on this 2,500 acres of land, you know, what this paddock's for, why they're here, you know, why they put the water troughs where they put them at and the feed tubs where they put them at. You know, there's a lot to it, and you want the horses to get, you know, exercise, and you just don't want to, you know, like me, come up and just feed me, you know, and change the channel on the TV. You know, you got to get up, walk, and work for it a little bit. You know, so we're doing that. And they do the same thing with the horse show business. The horse shows are really something good to go to. What I like about it is, like in Lexington and here in the Winter Equestrian Festival in Wellington, they've got so many things there. They've got vendors. They've got plenty of food and plenty of drink that you have there. They got all kinds of things, knickknacks that you can buy, souvenirs, you know, and especially, it's really good. They got nice shirts, they got hats, got boots, you name it, they got everything that's there. And especially at Christmas time or birthday time, that's what I like about going to the horse shows. You'd be surprised at how many, you know, birthday or Christmas presents you can get, you know, at a horse show, you know, from all the vendors that are there. Or at the racetracks, when you go to the racetracks, be sure you go up to the gift shop, you know, at the racetracks. You got all kinds of things that are there. You know, so that's one thing that I know a lot of people like to see happen, you know, when they do it. And then, like I said, the foods, the traditions of the foods. And then a lot of the states have nice agricultural museums that you can go to. And check out, you know, all about the state and the horse industry and exactly how much, you know, how many billions of dollars are spent, you know, in the horse business, you know, that go into the community, you know, and support, like the Burger Kings and laundromats and hospitals and grocery stores and car rentals and, you name it, it's there. That's what, you know, they do here. But the horse industry, like I said, is out there for the grabbing. You can entertain yourself and do a lot of good things, you know, through it. You know, I was really surprised when you get down, you know, to it to see what all is there, especially when you start going to, like, the Thoroughbred Hall of Fame in Saratoga, New York. That's amazing. When you go to through that, to what you see all the great horses. A lot of people don't know it, but the potato chip was invented in Saratoga at the racetrack. Out there, they had an owner that wanted a thinly sliced potatoes, and it was kind of one of those same comedies that you see on TV. The owner kept sending it back, wanted thinner. So the cook in the back, he said, "I'll give him thin." And they sliced one paper thin, you know, fried it up, sent it to him, and he loved it. Therefore, that's where they got the potato chip from. So, but, you know, you see things like that, you know, happen, and you learn things like that when you go out to see these museums and, you know, places like that. Like here in Florida, we've got just right up the road from us here in Lake Worth, Florida, we got the Polo Hall of Fame. It's just right off, really nice area in between the beach and the showgrounds. And you go in there, and you can spend a good hour in there, and it shows you how the polo mallets were made, how polo started, who plays polo, the reason they, you know, they travel all over the world playing polo. And nowadays, polo is not for the rich anymore. They've got schools and they've got all kinds of teams that are playing, you know, that are like these little league teams. You know, they're getting little league polo that plays. And they got indoor polo that plays college. The college polo is just unbelievable, you know, that they have. You get a scholarship playing polo going, you know, for college, you know, and you get a scholarship for show horse riding too. So, you know, the horse industry has a lot to offer, an awful lot to offer. You know, so I rambled on enough about the website and all like that. We're going to listen to people that we've talked to and people that call in to us and, you know, email us about, you know, what we can do with the website. You know, and if you got a small or a big or, you know, a company that's involved in the horse business, all you got to do is email us. You know, give me a call. You know, you can call me at 323-744-4829 or 28, and you know, we'll go from there. You know, we'll go from there and see what all you have. You know, it's just exciting. Now we're going to talk about the rest of the show, the Kentucky Derby. We're going to talk about what it takes to get into the Kentucky Derby. Let me tell you, it's a mile long. It's a lifetime of a chance and a chance of a lifetime. This is just unbelievable what you have to do to get into the Derby. The Derby is probably one of the finest festivals of any kind in the United States. It's 150 years old. And I mean, they've been there and they've done that. They made it through the wars. They made it through, you know, everything, weather, you name it. They've gone through, they weathered the storm, as they say. But the Derby is something that you have to experience. And when I say experience, I mean, you got to do the whole thing. And this is my suggestion to you. That you do. You go to Churchill Downs when they're not racing in the off season, the fall, the summer, maybe even in the wintertime. You go see it. You educate yourself. You see what it's all about. You see the facility. And then you imagine, you know, 150,000 people being at the Derby, you know, packed in there watching races. The museum is fantastic. They've got a starting gate that you can stand in, and you can literally see what, you know, the rider and the horse sees when you're in that starting gate. They got good videos. They got all kinds of information. They got books, artwork, you name it. They have it in great gift shop that they have in there, and they tell you all about the Kentucky Derby. And then in spring and the fall, in the summertime, you can take a tour of the backside, and they put you in a nice air-conditioned bus, and they drive you around the different barns. They take you to each one of the barns that have housed the Derby winner in it, and you can see what they look like. You can see what a stall looks like, you know, how they work in the morning, see everything. And then you can go out to the rail out there by the track, and you can watch the horses training in the morning. You can talk to the jockeys and the riders and the owners and the trainers. And, you know, it's really a good tour. And then in the afternoon, you can go to the races. The food's good. You know, it's just, it's a good long day, you know, that you can go to. But when it gets down to it, you want to know, how do they get to the Kentucky Derby? The 2025 Road to the Kentucky Derby is a series of races through which horses qualified for the 2025 Kentucky Derby, which will be held May 3rd. The field for the Derby is limited to 20 horses, with up to 4 also eligibles in case of a late withdrawal from the field. There were 3 separate paths for the horses to take to qualify for the Derby. The main road, consisting of races in North America and Japan, consisting of 4 races in Japan, and the Euro Mideast road, consisting of England, Ireland, the United Emirates, and France. of the top five finishers in the specified races receive points. The higher the points awarded the major prep races in March and April are good. Earnings in the non-restricted races acted as a tiebreaker. For 2025, the main road to the Kentucky Derby resembles the 2024 Kentucky Road to the Derby, consisting of 36 races, with 20 of those races being Kentucky Derby prep season. 16 races for the Kentucky Derby championship season, with the following challenges, changes. They've added the Grade 3 Virginia Derby to be held March 15th at Colonial Downs. Has been added to the championship series. The UAE Derby has been moved from the main road in the North American Derby and placed and rebranded in the Euro Mideast Road to the Derby. And the Cardinal Stakes have been removed from the Euro Market and Mideast Road to the Derby. So they swapped them around a little bit, you know, there. There's also been an adjustment in the points in the championship series. Races on the road to the Kentucky Derby, a minimum of 6 horses is required for full points to be awarded. So in other words, you got to have 6 horses or more in the race to get points for the Derby, because last year they had a situation where they only had a few races that had, they had horses in there that weren't eligible for the Derby. But due to the fact of the trainer or the owner, it had some issues, you know, with the system. So, in other words, you got to have 6 horses or more to get your, points for the Derby. And so now that they've done that, they kind of got a pretty good shape. You can race over in Europe, and you automatically will get in if you win certain races there. And then here in the States, like I said, we've had the Virginia Derby added at Colonial Downs, which is a good place to go because you're close to Jamestown. And when you go down there for the Virginia Derby, you can go to Jamestown and see all the historical sites and then come out to the track and watch the Virginia Derby at Colonial Downs, which is really, it's a good area to go to. I love it out there. But, and then, like I said, each one of these tracks that we're getting ready to go to here over the spring, the winter and the spring, you can go, you're available, to go see what all's there, enjoy the historical, sites and the town and the way of life, and you can go and see the races, and be on the road to Kentucky, to the Kentucky Derby. The first race started, which was interesting, is the Iroquois Stakes. It's at Churchill Downs. It was September 14th. It was won by Jonathan Sway. He earned 10 points. Owen Almighty earned 5 points, finishing first and second. Very, very good, good horses in there. But we'll see where they're at the 1st of May. We'll see where they're at the 1st of May. Then from Churchill Downs, you go to Aqueduct in New York to the Champagne Stakes, which is October 5th coming up here. The American Pharoah Stakes at Santa Anita is also on October 5th. And then Breeders' Futurity is at Keeneland, which is on October 5th. Beautiful weather in all three of those cities, New York, California, and Churchill. All nice places, to be at. Then the Street Sense Stakes is at Churchill Downs on October 27th. Then we have the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, which is November 1st at Keeneland. That's a $2 million race, and that'll get you into the Derby for sure. Then again at the end of the month, 6 days later, a month later. We have the Jockey Club at Churchill Downs. That's on November 30th. And then we go back to Aqueduct for the Remsen on December 7th. The Springboard Mile at Remington Park on December 13th. Los Alamitos Futurity in Los Alamitos on December 14th. The Gunrunner Stakes at the Fairgrounds on December 21st. The Smarty Jones $300,000 added, which is a great race, prep race for the Arkansas Derby. That's on January 4th. And the Jerome Stakes again at Aqueduct on January 4th. So those are the races that are going to finish up the year here in the United States and get everybody to where they think they should be at. And if you got horses that run in those races and do pretty good, you know, you're on the road to success, possibly running in the Derby. But a little historical information here. A lot of these horses that run in these races that I just named off do not end up running or winning the Kentucky Derby. It's very, very unlikely. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile has been like a black mark on you. Those guys, the 2-year-old champion, very rarely, you know, comes back and does a lot. You know, they usually struggle, you know, all winter and spring long that happens. And, you know, it's kind of a tough road to go in there. All these horses that are running now, you know, you got to think about laying them off. You got to think about their next race they're going to. You got to think about all these different things that are happening. And then, you know, you say, well, how do I catch up? How do I make all the points up? Well, you got all winter and all spring long to make up. But then you're running against seasoned horses that are really, you know, ready to roll. You know, going up to these races that we just talked about are races, you know, that you've been getting them ready for. Now, what's unusual is a lot of the horses that run good in these races we just talked about usually run at Saratoga as a 2-year-old, or they run at Del Mar as a 2-year-old. And those guys, and let me tell you, they had some 2-year-old races there this year that showed some promising, you know, horses coming out, maybe some Derby runners coming out. But you don't know, because in a 2-year-old business, they're usually pretty young. You know, they're not developed yet. And they've been pushed and prodded, you know, to get a little further so they can win the Iroquois or the Champagne or the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you know, that type of thing. And that's really tough on these horses. So, you know, you got to start thinking about on how they get there as an owner and a trainer. What races do you run? Do you run some of the races that, you know, we just talked about, or do you wait for, you know, the races that come on down in during the year, like, you know, like the Arkansas Derby, the Louisiana Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes, that type of thing, you know, that type of thing. But so now that just gives kind of an idea of what the owner's going through. Now that he's got his horse, he sits down with his trainer. They go over races like this, and they talk about it, you know, and they start pointing the horse, you know, towards the Derby. And then let's say, for example, on September 14th in the Iroquois Stakes, you got a horse that runs good, but it took a lot out of him. So now you're sitting there thinking like, okay, what are the benefits? We've run at Churchill Downs. We've gone a mile on the track. We've been down the stretch at Churchill Downs. So that's good experience for the Derby. It's stakes competition against quality horses. So that's good. So then, you know, you think, well, where do I go with him next after that? This is on September 14th. A lot of people that run good in the Iroquois or win the Iroquois, they start pointing them towards the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Is what they do, or the Breeders' Futurity, which is October 5th. They try to start spacing races out 5-6 weeks apart, so they're not really, you know, taking a lot out of their horse, which is still a young horse. You know, he's still a young horse, and they don't know how fast he's going to recover, you know, from the race. You know, like Fierceness, he was the 2-year-old champ of the year last year. He almost made it to the Derby. You know, he won some Breeders' Cup Juvenile, you know, in an impressive way. Big speed ratings, you know, fastest horse in the country. But he just couldn't keep together. And by the time he got to, you know, Churchill for the Derby, he had foot problems. And, you know, all the other things. And then, you know, it was just an uphill battle. But then he started coming back as an older horse, and he started winning. And now, you know, he could possibly, he's on the road to win, you know, the Classic this year, the big $6 million race in the Breeders' Cup. But he was another one of those horses that started out, and they didn't know how he was going to act and react to racing. So now they found out, so now they know. Well, every one of those trainers and every one of those horses in the Iroquois has to do that. And same thing with the Champagne, American Pharoah, the Breeders' Future, any Street Sense, and the Breeders' Cup, Kentucky Jockey Club. You gotta start getting into the rhythm. Okay, now 5 weeks away from the Remsen, that's December 7th. You know, you're coming down and you're looking, maybe running in the Jerome at Aqueduct or the Smarty Jones. So that would be 5 weeks. So now that you're thinking about, you know, your mindset is every 5 weeks, what do I find out? Then you got to factor in the fact that you got to transport them. How do I get them there? Do I fly them or do I take them on a van? You know, so that's another thing that comes into play. So, you know, this is all how you get to the Derby. It's constantly every week it's something else and something different. You know, you got to get with your feed dealer, your blacksmith, your vet. You got to get with your jock. You got to get with, you know, with all the people involved into it. You know, getting them back and forth, getting hotel rooms. And then what's funny about it is the closer you get to the Derby, the more friends you get. Hey, Scotty, are you going down for the Louisiana Derby to the fairgrounds? If you do, let us know. We're going to be down there then. You know, that old story comes up. You know, and by the time you get to the Derby, you got 30 or 40 friends that are wanting you to get them tickets and come and see the horse. You know, but after, you don't see them until, you know, the next spring. Which, you know, that's understandable. You know, they just like to be around all the excitement. But, you know, we're going through a lot of things on how they get there. And next week it's going to be we're going to tell you who the owner is that we're looking at and who we're going to be talking with. And we're going to tell you who the trainer is. And we're going to tell you who the jockey probably will be. So that's going to be a big show next week. You know, you'll start getting into it and everything and seeing what they're doing. And we'll have a lot of video on their farm that they have. We'll have video on who they are and the big races that they've won in the past. We've got, races on the jockeys, or the young jockeys, or the old jockey. You know, who's he going to be? You know, who's it going to be there? So we'll really get into that next week, you know, and the horses. And, you know, but like I said, the website is changing dramatically. It's going to be more interactive. It'll be a lot of things that you'll be, you know, able to go to. And what we're doing is I'm putting in, you know, links. Like, say, for example, if you're in the Lexington area, you know, I'll have a link to the three-day Rolex event, the Kentucky Horse Park, Keeneland Racetrack, Keeneland Sales, and the Chamber of Commerce, you know, for Lexington. And we'll have that, and then that way it's going to be a friendly website to where it'll travel you around the country without spending any gas. You know, the only thing you'll have to do is make up your mind where you want to go, and that's what we want to do, you know, on the website, make it, you know, client customer friendly, you know, to it. Because let me tell you, the equestrian world is a beautiful, beautiful world. You see all kinds of things that happen in there. There was a horse named Cody's Wish that we're going to get into. There was a disabled young man that first met Cody. His parents were taking him on a farm tour, and they took him out, and this Cody, this horse just fell in love with Cody. And so the owner of the farm said, we're going to name him Cody's Wish. And he ended up being a world champion. And unfortunately, Cody passed away right after the horse had run his last race. And that was the sad part. But it was another one of those things that the kid got enjoyment of seeing the horse and going to the races. And, you know, you can do that with your family. You can go out and visit all these horses and make memories. you know, and give the kids something to look forward to. You know, and that's what we're doing at International Equine Network. It's about information distribution. And someday we're going to be bigger than BBS radio and TV because they go to 48 countries. And the only country I go to is in South Florida right now. But and get with us next week, you know, and go to the website. Start checking the website every day, and you'll see new things coming on. If you got any suggestions, just let us know what you want to do, you know, what we should do and how we should do it. And we'll go from there. Until then, stay healthy, stay happy, and may the horses follow you everywhere.